May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I do love a good read. My slightly guilty pleasure is a good crime novel. You know the type where there are twists and turns everywhere, and you don't really know who the perpetrator of the crime is until the very last minute. I love a good whodunit. I have to keep reading until I find out how it all ends. Now, Luke's account of Jesus sending out the 70 in mission is also compelling reading. A rich harvest is affirmed, but so also is the recognition that there are relatively few labourers to respond to this rich opportunity. Something that we are, I'm sure, very aware of living in a village or what they call rural community. And so the 70 are sent on their way with simple yet challenging instructions. There is no plan for their work. Indeed, so much of it seems to be a journey into the unknown. They are to travel lightly and to be careful to remain, particularly in the places where their work bears fruit. Their mission and ministry are to be rooted in the context of relationship and hospitality. Where it does not bear fruit, they should not fear moving on to face new challenges in different places. They are to expect the possibility of hostility, but also to be open to those who respond to their ministry and teaching with enthusiasm and joy. They are to travel lightly, receive generosity with grace, and to move on with realism. It is ministry rooted in the peace of God and built on a culture of hospitality and generosity in community. What is striking about this account of the sending out is the degree of uncertainty and the ways that those who are being sent are indeed sustained through grace and faith, rather than through detailed planning and thought. Indeed, if such journeys were developed today, it would be interesting to see how cautious we had become in relationship to risk, and how, therefore, we were less able to be either open to hospitality or adaptive to change. When I was a school teacher, every time you went on a trip, even if you went out of the school building down the road, you had to create a risk assessment. You couldn't just go and do what you wanted. And I am wondering how that affects our mission and ministry as a church. There are some important challenges here for contemporary Christians, and especially at a time when there are some concerns about falling church attendance. Whilst good planning is helpful, as it was when I was a school teacher, it is important for all who follow Jesus to act in a way that encourages warm hospitality and open relationship, such that we can come alongside people and communities exactly where we are. I imagine that when we plan for the summer fete, the planning team that works there has to think carefully about all the risks involved. I don't know if you remember, but we do have a bouncy castle coming on Saturday, which I'm looking forward to immensely. But of course, with that bouncy castle comes caution, because there was an accident at Harlow, I think, 2 years ago, where a child was sadly killed. But we still have to weigh up whether actually having a bouncy castle is a good idea. Is it hospitality? Is it welcoming? Will children want to come? Or is it a danger? Well, I think, hopefully, we've got the right balance, because, yes, we are going to have a bouncy castle, but we have put extra precautions in just in case. So we are planning, but we are also showing hospitality. Back to the story, though. The gospel account is also interesting in the way it helps us to think about our response to situations where we face hostility or a poor response as we seek to share Christ's love. The 70 are not encouraged to argue their case, or indeed to dwell long in a situation of conflict, but they are to move on to new opportunities and to keep moving forward in their journey. For those times when we might feel a bit stuck in our discipleship journey, such an approach could be a real encouragement. The instruction that the 70 are to travel lightly and carry with them the bare minimum of supplies and resources serves as a reminder to all who follow Christ today. that we consider our own capacity to travel lightly and the ways in which we depend on God's grace and provision as we journey on in faith. This reminds me of when I was in Kenya about 4 years ago. One of the things that struck me is the strong faith of the Kenyan people. Christianity is on the rise in Kenya. We should be encouraged by that. But what worries me is the fact that the Kenyans are trying to imitate what we do here in the West. Whereas the Kenyans have a lot of dependence on God because they do live in an area that is full of poverty. There is a lack of food and a lack of resources, particularly fresh water. They pray, and they even pray actually before they go out of their houses, travelling, they just say a prayer. And I think that says something about their reliance on God. However, us in the West, we're more reliant on ourselves, aren't we? Which is a worry. But anyway, I digress. For the modern disciple, I don't think that we should be reckless, but there are often times when if we travel lightly in mission, we are able to enter into it more deeply, as well as understand it more fully. And that's a context in which we serve. But there is a challenge to us all here. As we seek to share the gospel, we need to be mindful of what we take on the journey. Perhaps we should seek to travel more lightly, to be adaptive to change, to move swiftly and rejoice in hospitality and peace. Change is never easy, of course, and people often find themselves reluctant to change, but we are called to do that. The church has always changed. It is a continuing change. This building that we stand in is a representation, of course, of the church. Of course, the church is made of people, it's not a building, but this church has continually changed over the years. We sometimes get stuck in the idea that, oh, we can't change that in the church, it's always been like that. Well, actually, that's not true. This church is a living, breathing moment of change as we reach out to the gospel, to the community we live in. In the letter to the Galatians that Sheila read, we read that the rich potential comes when the disciples sow in the Spirit. Paul tells us that if we proclaim the love of Christ with humility in the Spirit, then fruitfulness will follow. But if we sow with a desire which is rooted in our own needs, our own selfish ends, then the opposite may come to pass. So for us, today, as we share in mission, and as we are sent out to share the good news to Great Chesterford and beyond, let us know that all that we need and do is in the light and love of Christ. That's all we need to know. This is a story in which we don't quite know how it ends, but we do know who don't. We do know that the Lord Jesus Christ has already done all that is needed for mission and ministry in our area. Amen.